in should greatly increase. This is a covenant promise of God. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. And so we started last Sunday under healing and restoration. Under healing and restoration, which is a theme for this month, we took time to speak on breaking the yoke of smallness. The yoke of smallness is the same thing as the yoke of limitation. A man who is under a yoke cannot be restored. And then we look at it in many ways. Number one, we said, what is the yoke of smallness? And we gave about 12 definitions. I may not have time to explain. I will just run through them. It is an invisible influence that refuses easy entrance into your next level. You try to enter a new phase of life and there's a resistance. That's a yoke. It is a contrary voice that speaks against your rising. You do everything to rise, but there's a contrary voice. It might be physical, it might be spiritual. That's a yoke. It is a violent operation that tends to persist. A violent operation that tends to persist. You have fasted, you have prayed, and you have sown seed, you have met people, you've gone for counseling, and yet it's still there. It is a yoke of smallness. It is a contrary wind that refuses easy, direct movement. A contrary wind that you want to go towards the north, but it's blowing you towards the south. It is a yoke of smallness. It is consistent opposition attack. Obstacles or hindrances on the path of destiny fulfillment. You want to go into fulfilling destiny. You want to become what God said you should be. But there's this consistent opposition, consistent attack, consistent obstacles and hindrances. You come out from health problem, it's a police case. You come out from police case, it's this, it's that. Different kinds of challenges in this meeting, God will take them away. Number six, we say it is a yoke of repeated disappointment. Repeated rejection, repeated failure. When you see these things happening, it is a yoke of smallness. It wants to keep you small. In this house, you will get out. We say it is powers that reduces, subtracts, and retrogress. Even when they give somebody 10,000 to give, he must short, even if it's 1 naira. That 1 naira, what do you want to use it for? For nothing. He just wants to short it. Something must short something around you. It is a yoke of smallness. Something doesn't come complete to you. Anyhow, it must short on the way. Something is wrong. Number eight, we say anything that threatens your rising and threatens your new phase or increase or blessing. Anytime you want to rise, there's a threat. Any one time you want to rise, something is threatening. It's a yoke of smallness. Number nine, we say it is demonic resistance. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 tells us that. Demonic resistance. You just feel this thick cloud in the realms of the spirit. You just sense that something is not right. Today, I agree with you. By faith in the name of Jesus, the wind of heaven will blow them away. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know these things we say when we speak. Sometimes you may not see the power in what we say. But the Bible said the words we speak, they are spirits and they are life. So when we make declarations over your life, you might not see it with your physical eyes. But spiritually something is happening. I pray for you. You will not remain small. The yoke of smallness shall be broken. No matter what happened, you will rise. No matter what happened, you will fly. No matter what happened, you will soar. It shall not be by your strength or your capacity. The wind of God will carry you. In this new season, receive grace. Grace to make money. Grace to marry. Grace to buy new cars. Grace to buy lands. Grace to own houses. You will not struggle over nothing. Favor on your forehead. Favor on your CV. Favor on your name. Wherever you enter, let people celebrate with you. Your life shall not be associated with mourning. Your life shall be so associated with celebration, with joy, with peace. Shout amen, receive it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is a demonic resistance. It is an arrow of destruction. You build one, they scatter. You build two, they scatter. It is a yoke of smallness. It wants to keep you at one spot. You have built the relationship, they broke. You have built the marriage, they broke. You bought the land, problem. You built the house, problem. Everything, there's always destruction one way or another. It will not repeat itself. By these words I speak, angels traffic this altar. They pick these words. They act on your behalf. In the next 1, 2, 3 months, in the next 6 months to 1 year, you will discover that God has stepped in for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. The yoke of smallness is monitoring spirit that checkmate all of your legitimate effort. Anytime you're about to do something legitimate, there's something monitoring it. It's a yoke of smallness. If it is something that is not legitimate, something that is not good, they don't worry you. But anytime you want to do something good, you hear people say, when you marry genuinely or well in my family, you get so-so sickness. But when you born out or outside of wedlock, everything is normal. It's a yoke. It's not normal. You will not experience that. It is forces of humiliation and limitation. They are aimed at frustrating and bringing shame at the end. That's just their aim. Forces of limitation with an aim of frustrating and bringing shame. They say you can rise, oh, but we will wait for you and we will frustrate you. You can marry, oh, but we will wait for you and we will frustrate you. You can gain admission, oh, but we will wait in school. We will frustrate you. And so somebody have gained admission and come back with them third class or pass. Every power that waits for you to humiliate you, may God stop them. Today on this altar, we stop them. We stop them. We stop them. A young girl had come to meet me before for counseling. In royal household, I sat back as a man of God, thinking to hear something very reasonable. She said to me, Pastor, from the day I married, I started stealing. I have never stolen in my life. I have never. There is a girl that works in, is it Chevron? Chevron. But she says, if I don't pick, even if it's 100 naira from my husband's pocket, I don't feel happy. And she picks it in a way that the husband will always know and will always ask. She will deny. What will I do with your money? I earn a lot. I earn well. Until one day, she said they almost mobbed me in Elelewon here. A woman who has more than enough money went and stole something. I can't remember. Something very petty in a shop. And they held her. They said, you stole. She said, I don't steal. But you stole. And she, according to her, she said, the money she had in her pocket could buy that thing more than 1,000. And she said, it's always when they come to me and say, you have stolen, that I realize, true, I don't thief. That she doesn't know why she don't. She said, I don't need these things, sir. I don't even need it. But how did I carry it and put it in my purse? It is a yoke of shame. It is a yoke of reproach. It is a spell. It is an influence meant to humiliate. I pray for everyone connected to this altar. No matter who fires such arrow, it will not come near you. I say it will not come near you. Your life cannot be manipulated. Your destiny cannot be manipulated. Every yoke of shame programmed against you, I scatter them on this altar. I deactivate them. I destroy them. In the name of Jesus. If your amen is loud, God will fight for you. Forces of humiliation. Powers of limitations. With the aim to frustrate. With the aim to bring shame at the end. And while I was praying for her, the Holy Spirit said to me, she's a third daughter. The great grandparent, the mother's father needed a girl, I think a baby girl. Long story, I wouldn't want to go into it. And then the baby was not forthcoming, so she went to the river and had a covenant with the marine spirit. And the marine spirit said to them, since you need a third child, I will give you. But after your generation, no other person gets a third child. Every third child shall belong to me. And so when the children come, you must bring them to the river to officially hand them over to me as dedication. They can go back to the wall and live their normal life. But you must bring them and dedicate them to me. You must not dedicate any third child to any other thing than me. Then Christianity was not very strong. So the grandparents did the same. In the parents' time, they know that from third daughter serves something Mary. And then when it was her time, she was a child of God. So you know all these children of God that goes to church, but they are not prayerful. All these children of God that when it's time to pray in church, they'll be doing Aje brother, Aje sister. As if you're doing God favor. And God is looking at you and say, if you know what they are planning against you, you will not do a shadaba, or robo prayer. So she was a child of God, but a shadaba, child of God. Ajebo, ajemelon, ajeshugarcane, Christian. Polish girl. Well fixed. Good eyelashes. Good, how they call those things, they fix in the nails. Big girl, fine girl, with a clean car. But with a yoke on her head, spiritually. And so she became the third daughter. An innocent girl. Now, another rule was, no third daughter marries. And so every other third daughter, they stay at home, they have children. In fact, third daughters cannot even marry because it becomes a problem for them to marry. The spirit fights them from marrying. But in her case, she was able to fight her way through prayers. Fight her way through prayers. That's why I tell people, whatever you got through prayers, you need prayer to maintain. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That's the truth. Whatever you get by seed sowing, don't stop sowing after getting it. And then she got her way in. She said the first day they waited, the first day, she stole from the wedding, the hotel room. She even carried hotel people, whatever, according to her, and put in her bag and left. Hotel people had to call them and look for that thing. She had to return. She knows that she doesn't need it. She had to return it back. But she had stolen. At least she don't thief before she returned. And when we were praying, God revealed this to me. I asked her, are you the third daughter? She said, yes. Was your mother the third daughter? She said, no, second daughter. How about your mother's mother? I said, go and find out your history of third daughter. She said, Pastor, I come from a home that fears God. We don't have all this negative history. You know, these are Jebo people. Sometimes they make the pastor feel very confused. And so I left her. About 2 months after, she came, called me. I didn't know, I couldn't recognize her again. And so she came and said, Pastor, I'm the one that came for counseling that time. And when you were praying, you said, God showed you this. And I said, no, it cannot be in my family. I said, so what happened? She said, I went to ask my mother. And my mother took me to our grandmother. And my grandmother sat us down and gave us the history of our family. And we discovered that third daughters don't marry. Have you not seen how so-so person does not marry? And the ones that eventually marry don't usually go this, do this, do that. Long story, I don't want to go. God has assured us victory from all this. We saw that in Psalms 34 verse 19. That no matter the yoke, no matter the spell, we have victory through Christ. Yes, that's the truth. In God's plan for his children is that we will grow and do well. That is the plan of God. You cannot decide what happens to you at birth. Because some of you are married into families with certain laws. And you never knew when these laws were set up. But you can decide how you will end up. Say, I will end well. Say, I will not end small. Say, I will end well. Say, I have the capacity of an atomic bomb. I will not die like a knockout. Shout a loud amen. Say it again. I have the capacity of an atomic bomb. I will not die like a knockout. Say, everything God has put in me, before I die, they will all be expressed. Say loud amen. God doesn't see you the way you see yourself. We saw that last week. He sees you in your future. The way you are right now might not be good, but there's a good future. And we say every believer in Christ is designed to grow and to go from glory to glory. Proverbs 4 verse 8 says so. And so I want you to say it again with me. I refuse to die small. I refuse to stay small. When you say the angels of God endorse it, say, I refuse to stay small. And I refuse to die small. Say loud amen. Amen. So what should you do to break the yoke of smallness? All these ones I've said before are what we said last week Sunday. So I had to do a brief recap and then come into what to do. Number one, Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13 to 14. To break the yoke of smallness, you must, number one, activate your covenant with God. And how do you do this? You do this by surrendering your life to God to manage. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 tells us that when you surrender your life to God to manage, please can you get to that scripture? Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the yoke of smallness is a curse. And the Bible says here that Christ has redeemed the Mae Johnson from the curse. How did he do it? He became a curse for us. For the Bible said, curse is everyone that hung on a tree. So when Christ went to the tree and hung on the tree, he took the place of every curse that should come on me. He took it away. Let's go to verse 14. Why did he do that? After redeeming us from the curse of the law, then restoration is possible. That the blessing, everybody read it with me, want to go. That the blessing of Abraham might come on Mae Johnson through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Somebody say hallelujah. There is a blessing hanging that needs to rest on you. But this blessing will only rest when you are in Christ Jesus. Because the mystery to the making it real is Christ. You can't manage your life. You cannot manage your destiny. You are too small to be able to manage your destiny. Why not surrender it to a man that has the capacity to do that? If you want to break out of smallness, God has made the provision that your curse, every curse on you can be taken away. Every battle on you can be taken away. And he can give you victory on victory. But all you need to do is activate your covenant with God by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Let him manage your life. Number two, because of time, you must resist fear and keep to faith. Isaiah 54 verse 4. You must resist fear. You must resist fear. Anyone who is afraid cannot become something great. Isaiah 54, we read verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Read it with me, everybody. Say, I will not fear. I will not be ashamed. I will not be confounded. For I shall not be put to shame. No, wait. Is this tautology? It's not. It looks like God is repeating the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. Are you following? But God is not making any mistake. He's making emphasis on what he's saying. Fear not. Because why we fear is that we feel that we may see shame at the end. We fear because the way things are going, I may be humiliated at the end. But God's word, which you can stand on every time, I said, God, this is your promise for me that I should not fear. You say, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Can you shout three powerful times? I cannot be put to shame. Say, no matter what happens, I will not see shame. Say it again, no matter what happens, I stand on the word of God. I decree and declare over my life, I cannot see shame. Can you shout a loud amen? For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. When I'm done with you, the shame of the past I will cover. You will walk past, and you will not even remember that there was a time where life used to be miserable. There are some persons in this church right now. I know you when you came to this church. And I know you how you are now. This church is just 1 year and. But many life has been touched. Many destiny has been impacted. Many has been transformed. And God is not done with you yet. He says, when I'm done, you will forget the shame of your youth. Your youth talks about your past. Your youth talk about when you were young. When I'm done with you, you will forget about the shame of yesterday. If God is talking to someone here, I want to see you receive this word. And you shall remember the reproach of thy widowhood no more. Widowhood means you have lost the partner. People that should have stood by you to help you had gone. But when I'm done with you, you will never know, you will never remember that you never had a physical partner holding your hands. You know, sometimes some pastors come to me and say, I should pray for them. And at least I've had this from 2-3 pastors. Pastor, pray for me. I don't have any partner that is sponsoring my ministry. And me that is praying for them. Me that they are coming to pray for. I don't also have any partner. God is my source. And anytime we have a need, He passes through anyone to solve my need. Like right now, we don't have feedback speakers. We don't have a combo speaker. We don't have a lead guitar. We don't have a bass guitar. I'm not worried. We don't have mid-range speakers. I'm not worried because I know that God is my source. He will provide. He says, when I'm done, you will remember the reproach of thy widowhood. The widowhood here talks about the reproach that you did not have a partner. You will never remember it again. Stretch your hands towards this altar. May God empower you to do what people who has people cannot do. I will say it 3 times. And this word of prayer will begin to work for somebody from this minute. May God empower you to be able to do what people who has people cannot do. I will say it for the last time. As this prophecy drops on your head, in the realms of the spirit, angels shall begin to act. Powers of God, the power of God will begin to act on somebody's behalf. May God empower you to do what people who have people cannot do. In the name of Jesus. God's intention is to give us a better life. He wants you to forget the pains of the past and put faith in the future. Look at Isaiah 43. We read verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43. We read verse 14 and 19. God can do it. Somebody say, my God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. And he does not just have the ability to do it. He has the ability to exceed your expectations. Remember ye not the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Everybody say it together. Remember ye not the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Verse 19, let's read it. One to go. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God wants to do something new. But he wants you to forget about the past. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Men have rejected you. They feel you don't have become anything. I stand on this altar. May your God surprise them. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. It's a prophecy for someone. May God surprise them. And what should you do to break the yoke of smallness? We have said, number one, activate your covenant place in Christ. Number two, we say resist fear and keep to faith. Believe that no matter how it happens, God will end up in your favor. No matter how it turns, the steps of the righteous are always ordered by the Lord. For everything will work together for my good because I fear the Lord. Believe that no matter how it is, it will end in your favor. Believe it. Believe it. And number three, connect to men of oils. Oil. Men that carries the presence. Men of mantles. Men that have relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 30, I'll read verse 27 to verse 30. These are known scriptures. Genesis 30, 27 to 30. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have you heard of Jacob before? Entering the house of Laban? Genesis? Is this Genesis? Genesis 30. And Laban said unto him, now please follow me carefully. Laban was talking to Jacob. I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight. Please read it with me. Want to go? Tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord had blessed me for thy sake. Hold on. Who was he talking to? Jacob. Who was Jacob in Laban's house? Even though he was an in-law, but he was his servant. How can the boss tell the servant, I have learned by experience that God has blessed me because of you? The father of Jacob was Isaac. The father of Isaac was Abraham. God had a covenant with Abraham who extended to Isaac, who rested on the head of Jacob. And at that time, Jacob had not become like his future, but the oil was still on his head. Sometimes men may not enter their prophetic destiny yet, but the oil is still on their head. That's why you don't despise people when they are not fully done with the process God is taking them through. Would you have believed that David will become a king when he was still running around the bush? He was a servant, but he's entering the house of Laban. Laban began to increase. Laban began to expand. And when he told Laban, I want to go, Laban begged the servant and said, my servant, I beg no go, because my prosperity is tied to you. May you become relevant to your world. May you enter places and let things open up. May you enter places that were locked up and things open up. May you enter places and people find favor. May you enter places and the place prosper. May you enter places and the place increase. Whatever made you go to a place to subtract, that spirit is rebuked now. Wherever you enter, that place shall blossom. It shall increase. It shall expand. Shout amen and receive it. Move to verse 28. And he said, tell me how much you want me to pay you, and I will give it to you. Master, begging servant. And I hope you know he changed his wages how many times? 10 times. But he could not take the oil from his head. He was a juju man. How do I know that? When Jacob was leaving, he chased after them and said, one of you have carried my juju. And when they searched their pocket, they saw it in the backs of one of his daughters. So with his charms and talisman, he could not subdue the oil on the head of Jacob. Jacob was a man of oil. He was a man of his presence. He said, tell me how much you want me to pay you, and I will pay. Move to verse 29. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. Jacob is the one telling him now, you know how I've served you, and how your cattle have been with me. Go to verse 30. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord had blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? There are people who have oils here to make others great, but their own life is not increased. Stretch your hands towards his altar. From today, whatever is keeping you from becoming who God wanted you to be, that thing breaks on this altar. That thing breaks in this service. As I speak these words, the angels of God act on it. In the name of Jesus. You will not just make men great, you will be great. Say, I will not die small. He said, you were small when I came. This guy in a servant, too. A servant is talking to a master. Physically, he was a servant. Spiritually, he carried oils. How about Lot? Go to chapter 32 verse 10. Chapter 32 verse 10 of that same Genesis. But before I read that, you remember how Lot followed Abraham. And when Lot followed Abraham, Lot was an ordinary person. No covenant on his head. He had nothing. The Bible said God had covenant with Abraham when Abraham was living. The Bible said, and Lot went with him. Lot was just a follow, a parasite. You remember parasites in school? Those people that hang by your cubicle anytime you want to. Once they hear you open your locker, they know you're about to drink. They know you're about to open milk. They know, no matter how you try to praise the thing gently, they hear. They have extra ears, they hear. Lot was a pest. Permit me to use that word. Lot was a parasite. But parasiting by Abraham. Oh, Brokosha. How many of you believe that there are cleaners in Aso Rock? Let me see your hands up. Okay, bring down your hand. Cleaner in Aso Rock and manager of this Eco Bank here. Manager of this Eco Bank here. Who is more rich? Cleaner, richer than manager. Okay, let's not use manager now. Let's go to director. If you enter this road now and you see maybe any supermarket, the CEO of that supermarket, CEO, the director, the owner of that supermarket, any supermarket on the street, and a cleaner in Aso Rock. Who is more rich? Who is richer? Who is more influential? So depending on who you parasite, every parasite is not a parasite. If you parasite around men that carries the oil, one day it will rub on you. And so Lot parasite around Abraham. And when you read later in the history, in the story of their walking together, you got to discover that Lot became very rich. He had no covenant on his head, though, just to follow Abraham. He became so rich that his headsmen started fighting the headsmen of Abraham. Headsmen fight, no be today's tattoo. Then Abraham had to come and say, why do we fight? The land is big enough. You can go anywhere. I go anywhere. We don't need to fight. But how come he became so rich? Because he followed a man who carried oil. Hang around men of oil. Like I said, physically they may not look it. But spiritually there's something they carry that can make your life. Have you ever seen a tow van? Tow vans in Nigeria don't look fine, oh. Tow van, tow trucks, towing trucks. Those trucks that used to tow other trucks, some of them don't look fine. But as rugged as they are, they can carry a brand new car to their destination. Oh, Balabaha. Bro, Mike, come behind me. Come behind me. Bro, Destiny, come behind him. Bro, Joshua, come behind him. Bro, Christian, come behind him. I am a tow van. And all of them are connected to me. Hold me. Hold me, any part of me. Now, any other person that holds any of them, as I move, are they moving? The tow van might not look fine, but as he's moving, are those connected to him moving? That's how they move. Sometimes you see brand new tier rubber Kia on top of an ugly tow van. It doesn't matter how ugly the tow van is. If they are well connected, they will get to where they want to get to. They will get there. Men of oil are destiny pushers. Men of oils are destiny activators. When we labor, like throughout this week, I've not gone home. Throughout this week, I've lived in church. And why am I praying in church? You think I'm praying for myself? By the mercies of God, if I want to eat, there's nothing in this world I want to eat that I will not eat. But I labor in the place of prayer because of the souls of men God has given me. When you hear me stay here at midnight, cry and shout, every spell over your life scatter. is because I know that some of you come from strange families. That there are men that wants to hide you under one bottle. And if I don't travel for your soul, the Bible says we will give account, we, that we are stewards of your souls, that we will give account of your souls on the days of judgment. Don't mind those people that say, if I must pray for you, you pay me 50,000. You pay me 30,000. They may have their reasons. But what if the people don't have the 30,000 to pay? And then their soul is tempered with. Something negative happens to them. What would they say about that soul in the day of judgment? What do you talk about Joseph in the house of Potiphar? Potiphar was a big man. Joseph was a servant. But Potiphar used his mouth to say, God has blessed my house since you came. Look up to me. There is no one in this house that is permitted under God to suffer under any spiritual spell. There is no one in this house connected to me genuinely under God that is permitted to suffer from any demonic arrow, to suffer from any demonic spell, to suffer from any satanic attack. No matter how they program and plan it, may God step in for you. Say loud, amen, and receive it. This church, 2 months ago, we had one wedding. And currently, we have 4 persons about to get married. I think 2 or 3 in August. 1 in September. The other one has not given me her date. As few as we are, we have that multiple open heavens. Within this short while, we've had multiple open doors on businesses. People getting employed, getting employed, getting employed. This is 2 years. No member of this church have gone for surgery or sleep on the hospital bed till the next day. You hear members say, I used to be sick before I joined Carry Spring. But from when I joined, the sickness has stopped. You hear all kinds of testimonies. It is a clear indication that angels traffic in this place. And as long as I live, which I am not planning to die now, your passion is to see people. I feel satisfied as a pastor when I see members do well. This is what drives me to prayer. I love sleeping on my bed. This place I used to sleep is not sweet. But I have to stay back in church because there are souls of men committed into my care. And I speak on this exalted altar. You will not fail. You will not fail God. You will not fail your generation. Finally, stay in the covenant. Number 4, stay in the covenant. How do you break the yoke of smallness? Stay in the covenant. Don't let anyone deceive you out of the covenant. Stay in the covenant. Keep your covenant obligations. When you pay tithe, you do not do God any favor. Rather, you are doing yourself good. I will rebuke the devourer. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. I will rebuke the devourer. I will keep the windows of your heavens open. It is a covenant right. But how do you activate it? It is when you stay on your covenant altar. Keep your covenant obligations so that when the devil comes, God can rebuke the devourer for your sake. You do not rebuke devourer by shouting fire, fire. You rebuke it by obedience, obedience. Pay your tithe. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse that they may be meet in my house. Prove me now herewith. It says the Lord of hosts. Anytime you see the Lord of hosts in any write-up, it talks about the man of war. The Lord of hosts. Why should he ask you to pay this? And he describes himself as a man of war. He should have said, say it, thy provider. But why is he coming? Why is he introducing himself as man of war in telling you to bring back what I gave to you, it means this is a serious matter. If I prove me here with the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven. So number one, tithing opens your windows of heaven. You don't struggle under closed heaven. How can you do business under closed heavens? How can you look for contracts under closed heavens? How can you work in a company under closed heavens? How can you work anywhere under closed heavens? Do you know that there are people that works in a company that receives 20,000 or 200,000 as salary, but before the 200,000 comes, what the company has blessed them with is more than 400,000. Don't depend on salary. Depend on the blessings of open heavens. I will open the windows of heaven. I will pour out a blessing that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast a fruit before its time. I will rebuke the devourer. When they come against your health, I will rebuke. When they come against your marriage, I will rebuke. When they come against your finances, I will rebuke. When they come against your children, I will rebuke. I will not allow your children to suffer what the children of your father suffered. I will rebuke the devourer. Say, Father, I am a tither. The devourer is rebuked. Say aloud, amen. Amen. Number two, act of service. I mean, covenant. Covenant obligation is service, your act of service. And this commands blessings on your head, and blessings on your bread, and blessings on your water. We see that in Exodus 23:25. God promised us that he will bless our bread and our water. But the only covenant obligation we have is serve me. Let's read it together, everyone. One, two, go. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall do what? Bless your bread and your water. That's A. And the B part, one, two, go. And I will take away. And I will take sickness away. And I will take sickness away. Do you know why we don't get sick in Carrie Spring? Because almost everybody served. And sickness is not only health too. Somebody can be sick financially. Somebody can be sick maritally. Somebody can be sick socially, sick academically. Somebody can be sick in business. Somebody can be sick in relationship. Everyone coming around you, you don't have any good friend. You have bad friends. If it's somebody who is a smoker, he will stay. If it's somebody who is a clean guy, he will not stay. I don't mean marriage relationship. Even if it's guy to guy, normal guy friends that can be gisting normally, and then when they see good opportunities, they introduce you to it. Why is it that good relationships don't stay around you? Because you are sick relationship-wise. When God talks about healing, healing is not only from typhoid and malaria. He heals your social influence. He heals your political career. Such that people that don't know you just walk up and say, I want this guy to be working with me in this politics. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that if a sweet fragrance that commands good relationships, that makes life easy and better, will begin to come out from you from now. And what else is a covenant obligation? First fruit. First fruit, Ezekiel 44 verse 30. These are our covenant obligations. You know, most of us do not know covenant obligations. What are the covenant? What are the things God say I must do? I should do. These are things you must not fail. And the first, let's read it together. One to go. And the first of all the first fruit of all things, every obligation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dung, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thy house. Get another translation. If there's a way we can get all this NIV and all that, I'll be very happy. Let's look at the B part. And you shall give your first batch of dung to the priest, so that the blessing may rest on your homes. So there's what we call blessing resting in people's homes. Do you know people can get into a company, and from when they entered that company till when they left, they can never turn back to see what that company ever did for them. Anything tangible. Why? Because the blessing had not rested. The blessing came, but it never rested. He got a good job as a Shell staff, making millions every month, but could not even buy land, talk less of building a house. Stretch your hands towards his altar. I pray for you that every mistake you had made in the past that did not allow the blessings of God to rest in your life, those mistakes die now. And from this day, I command that the blessings of God will rest in your life, will rest in your house, will rest in your business, will rest in your family. If you say loud, amen, receive answers. Number four, covenant obligation. So number three, don't eat your first fruit. Anytime God blesses you with a new job, God blesses you with a contract, God blesses you with something, every first blessing belongs to God. We don't have time to go into looking at that. We would have done that. Number four, be fruitful in your kingdom service. This guarantees answers to prayers. We are talking about staying in the covenant. And we say, what are covenant obligations? Number one, we say, tithing, service, first fruit. Be fruitful in your kingdom service. Have a service in the kingdom. Have something you're doing to advance the kingdom of God and be fruitful at it. We see that in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 16. When you are fruitful in your kingdom service, whenever you pray, heaven answer. You did not choose me, but I choose you. Maybe some of you here don't know that God was the one that chose you to sing for him. God was the one that chose you to walk in the media. God was the one that chose you to be a sanctuary cleaner. You felt it was you that just stood up and said, I want to do that. No, God thought about it. He planned it and he orchestrated your part into it. You did not choose me. I'm the one that chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruits. And that your fruit should remain. Do produce fruits and let your fruit remain. When you are in any department, produce fruits in that department. And when you leave, let us not turn and not see any fruit again. Don't turn and leave with all the fruit. Now me buy mop. Now me buy packer. And so you make sure that you break the mop and break the packer before you leave the sanctuary department. Don't be me buy them. As I leave now, I must scatter them. I go scatter them. He said that thy fruit might remain. Don't break the mop. Keep it back. Don't destroy the packer. Keep it back. Because when this happens, look at the B part. So that whatever, let's read it together, I want to go. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. It guarantees answers to prayer. Fruitful kingdom service guarantees answers to prayer. Say it after me. Say, fruitful kingdom service guarantees answers to prayer. That whatsoever you will ask the Father, I choose you to serve me. Serve me. Serve me. And let your fruit remain. And then whatever you ask the Father, he will do it. The things you do today will speak for you someday, somewhere. Don't leave a company and choose to destroy the company. Say they are sacking me. Okay, I will sack everyone before I leave. And then you start back bad mouthing. And bad biting and smell biting and nonsense biting the company. Poison biting the company. Don't do that. Wherever you find God planting, you put your best. And when you leave, leave your blessings. They may have planned it for you for evil, but God has a way of rewarding you good for the evil they were plotting. Was it not the case of Joseph? Was it not the case of Jephthah and Jabez? Was it not the same case in the case of Gideon? Mentioned so many others that were rejected. Even Isaac, whose wife was taken, and Abraham, whose wife was taken. They planned evil against these two men. But God turned it for them for good. There's no one who served God sincerely and see shame. No one. No one. No one. So be fruitful in your kingdom service. And then number five, under your covenant obligation or the fifth covenant obligation, honor your prophets. Matthew chapter 10 verse 41. Regularly connect to the oil and mantles by giving to him. Honor your prophet is a covenant obligation. It's a covenant obligation. Matthew 10, 41. And when you do that, there is a blessing connected to it. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. When you look at all these blessings and rewards and blessings and rewards, the form of covenant tokens that speaks for you. And how do you honor your prophet? It's not by every time you see him, I lo yalo. Defend him in the back. Give to him. And don't just give to him. Honor him with everything in you and everything around you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. I end here. Let me close everything. Close everything. I've ended. 5 verse 17. The elder who are good leaders should be considered worthy of ample honorarium. You know what they call honorarium? When a guest minister finishes preaching, that thing they package and give to him is called what? It shows this is a token to honor the oil on you. Especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. The elders that are good leaders should be considered. That's what the Bible says, that this kind of people, you should consider them worthy of not just honor, but ample honor, good honor. Especially those that labor hard in preaching and teaching. Do we teach you well in this church? Do we guide you well in this church? So honor your pastor. Buy him gifts. Buy him suit. You should know whether I'm better on suit or on native. Give to your pastor. Give to your co-pastor. Honor her. Don't say pastor has. Even when pastor has, you don't give to increase what he has. You give to connect to the oil on his head. Stretch your hands towards this altar. Your life will make progress. I'm just going to make declarations over you. And then we just minister for 5 minutes or at most 10. We may not be able to do much again. And then while the minister will be ministering, I will be laying my hands on you. And why am I going to be laying hands on you and praying for you? I'm going to be agreeing with you on anything that is like a prayer need in your heart. I will make sure I hold everybody's hand. No matter how it's going to look like. Even if it's going to take extra 10, 15 minutes, it doesn't matter. I will hold your hands and say, Lord, whatever this person is going through, by this agreement, step in for him. Step in for her. And as I just hold your hand and pray for you briefly, I will pass. But heaven will take over from there. Oh, shata la bahata. Oh, rovrokosa. Thank God for the word you have heard. Go ahead. Thank God for the word you have heard. Oh, shata la 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 bahash. Hiprokosa ti la badada. Anasi alleluia. Anasi alleluia. Jehovah omenu. Omenu. Mimosi miwe. Anasi alleluia. Anasi alleluia. Jehovah omenu. Get here.
Jehovah, hallelujah, oh, Jehovah, Jehovah, glory, honor, glory, honor, power to the one who lived for it. Amen. Oh, Ananamano Sadaduru. Yes, the praise to the one who lived for him.
If you have your tithes, come with it. Let me receive it from you now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I receive this tithe, I release the blessing. I receive this tithe, I release the blessing. Oh Rabakashatula Nabahatanabaha. Oh Rabakataba. Every other person, stretch your hands towards this altar. I begin to pray, oh God. Heal me and restore me. Oh God, heal me and restore me. In my business, in my career, in my marriage, in my finances, in all areas of my life. Heal me and restore me. Can you lift your voice and make that a prayer? Stretch your hands towards the altar while you're praying. Stretch your hands towards the altar while you're praying. Stretch your hands towards the altar while you're praying. Stretch your hands towards the altar while you're praying. May God intervene for you. Nelo wanelewe. Rapapapapadabadaba. May God intervene for you. Yes. May God intervene for you. May God intervene for you. May God intervene for you. May God intervene for you.